We're recording. You ready to podcast, babe?
I'm ready.
Hi, everybody. My name is Dominic Masters. Tonight, I have my wife, Alicia Masters, with me. Alicia, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
We are currently in the construction zone that is also our podcast studio, huh?
Yeah.
But it's finally going down. Folks, we have a bedroom and a bathroom being constructed on, assembled, worked on in our basement. As of now, we're going to send our son down here. But if he doesn't get his shit together, it might be one of his sisters, huh?
No, it's going to be me. I'm going to have my office.
You're coming downstairs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So kids still share room. Alicia gets office.
No, it's like, I don't know. We were talking. It's, you know, we didn't want to spend the money. It's strange when we first moved in. We kept saying, oh, yeah, we'll finish the basement. We'll build rooms down there later, like when they're older. Like, you know, when your kids are young, you think they're going to be young forever. It feels like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, it'll be, you know, when they're teenagers. Well, Chevelle is a teenager. Like,
it's now.
They're at that age where they need their space, you know? They need their, you know, they need to separate and everything. So it was like, we just had to do it. We had to bite the bullet and take out a loan and... You know, we're doing it as cheap as we can, but I mean, it's what you have to do when you have a 3-bedroom house and 5 people, 3 kids, you know, they can't.
I don't even think we should pay the loan back. Just
right. Like, fuck it. No. I mean, it's just what you have to do. You know, eventually when we go to sell our house, when we're old, it'll just help us make more money off of it.
For sure. So, because some other family's going to come in with three kids and go, look, dude. You know, at that time, like, who knows what the neighborhood will be like, probably still good enough, but like, all right, that's one thing we don't have to do. So let's pay a little bit more now for the house. And then we don't have to deal with that construction part.
I mean, this was a great starter house for us.
For sure.
And we've grown out of it a little bit.
How's it even happen?
Just kids get older and you get dog and, you know, we have family and we entertain and, you know, I wish we had a bigger house, but like the market is crazy and I don't want to move. Like that's a pain in the butt. Like,
no. And especially with the schools and everything being right here, like, we're so centrally located, but like out of the way a little bit.
Right.
But I think just looking around at the gym, like I think at some point that wall needs to have a big window in it too.
Yeah.
How dope. But yeah, man, just natural sunlight in here.
Yeah.
And then do like a couple mirrors and just finish that wall.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, you know, I think it's good that we're doing it cheap. I mean, it's not like we're poor, but like, we're not rich. Life is expensive with 3 kids and sports and just everything. But, you know, it's like a necessity to have the extra bedroom and bathroom. And, you know, later on we can do more. So,
dude, I know, you know, I'm talking to the listeners more, but, and I'm sure I've said this before too, but growing up, we lived with our grandparents, just my sister and I, my mom, lived with our grandparents for a little while. And then we got a little duplex that was a 2-bedroom duplex. My sister and I, we were little, right? So it's not weird. You can still share a room when you're the age we were.
Yeah. For sure.
And then went to the one house. We all had our own bedroom. It was great. That was for 1 year. And then my mom got divorced. Then we moved to that apartment. So now that is 7th grade for me, 9th grade for my sister. And Grandma PJ was like, this is crazy. I mean, it's like that do whatever you have to do for your kids thing. But
yeah,
she saw it as that important for us to have our own bedroom for that age. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, dude, absolutely. Well, no, dudes, for sure.
No boy needs to be sharing. You're right. And so, and my sister's crazy as fuck too. So, but like she slept on the couch. I mean, like, and then, you know, when you sleep on a couch for so long, it's got that divot in it.
Yeah.
Well, then like, we can't get a new couch. Who can afford that?
Right.
So then like, I remember one of her friends or somebody brought like plywood over to kind of like support the couch a little bit. And it's just like, so then when my sister would start running and, you know, like doing her thing as she got older, my mom would go back into her room and then, it was just like, it's just like that sacrifice.
So
it could be financially like us or, you know, sleeping on a couch for your kids, but
right. I mean, and we do. Like, we told the kids, like, you know, this past Christmas, it's not going to be as big as normal. And, like, we're not going to be going on vacations for a couple of years because, you know, the money that we would put aside, we don't want to go into debt. So we've got to start paying off that loan. And
yeah,
that's just what it is. So,
but it's good to have that mindset though, right?
Yeah.
You can't act like you're wealthy if you're not. You can,
yeah.
You can, but it can cause problems.
All right. I think that we've both taught each other like that happy median where you grew up differently than I did.
Yeah.
My biological dad didn't have a lot of money, you know, and he paid child support and stuff. So I know he struggled a little bit, but like my stepdad was an attorney and we had a 4-bedroom house. I've never had to share a room. Well, when I was with my biological dad every other weekend, I shared a room with my sister, but
it was cool back then. And, you know,
back
like
then
kids.
It didn't matter, yeah. You know, but I've always had my own bedroom. And so like that just wasn't even a thing that even.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Like, I didn't realize that a lot of kids, and there's some families where more than one kid have to share a room.
Sure.
A few of them, you know? But yeah, you for sure sacrifice. I mean, I don't have my own room now. I have to sleep with you.
I know.
I have to share a room
you
with
you.
You
did get this shit into this whole stick, yeah. But yeah, you're right. You taught me a lot about finances that, again.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Like, you have the mindset, like,
live now.
Yeah. And like, you know, if there's something you really want, spend the money. Like we have that happy median where now you understand why you got to pay bills on time. I mean,
yeah.
Now you've grown a lot from when I first met you, but like, you know, we need to save and have retirement. But at the same time, sometimes I get like so scared about the money, like the basement thing, it like snuck up on me. I kept thinking we could push it off to the point where we have to do it. Like,
right. So. It's inevitable at some point.
Yeah.
Is it happy median or happy medium?
You know what?
Median kind of makes sense because that's like in between the highway. You
know what?
But happy, I think it's happy medium.
I think it's medium. And I said median, but you know, I have my
Siri, is it happy median or happy medium? Oh shit, she's going to talk.
Oh.
Let's see if she heard me. No.
I kind of make up my own language sometimes.
Absolutely.
I think it is medium.
Whatever
you're right.
It is. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm just an English major. No big deal.
But no, you're right. But what I will have to say is funny. We're sitting down here. So the guy, Jamie, who's working on our basement, put up this like these plastic dividers hanging from the ceiling down to the floor. And it totally has a Dexter vibe going on right now in our house. Like, if you wanted to murder somebody, our basement would be a really good spot to do it in because we've got the plastic just hanging up.
You might not
want to
give me too many more ideas. You pissed me off.
But it's like kind of because Echo's getting like he's a little baby, but he's kind of like scared of it. He's like scared to walk through it and stuff. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, it is kind of creepy. It looks like a murder. Like there could be a murder down here.
So if anybody ever invites you into a basement that's covered in plastic, don't go. But you know what he's weird about is thresholds.
Yeah.
He doesn't like
stepping over things.
Yeah. Like if there's a door or something back there that he can't, like when I've taken him to work before, he'll run free as a bird. And then if I go back into this one office, he's just like, nope. But Ben's dog won't go back there.
Yeah.
It just looks, it's too final.
Well,
and a dog wants a way out, you know?
He won't go into the closet with me.
Yeah.
Or the laundry room.
He goes in the
like
bathroom
that.
With you like a psycho.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That he does.
You don't get a lot of free time.
No.
But you designed it that way.
Yeah.
You two are together.
Yeah.
All day long.
Especially lately. We've been together a lot.
Oh, dude, listen to this. So, Alicia's sister, we call her Binker, her name's Katie. Like, I want to say this, and I need you to let me speak, because I'm going to come back around.
Okay.
So when Shane Gillis on his special was talking about having someone in his, like someone in your family with Down syndrome, he's like, you don't realize they're just the best person you've ever met. They're always happy and always. Mm-hmm. Alicia's sister had a very unfortunate accident a long time ago because some piece of shit. Let's just keep going. But
it was domestic violence.
Yeah. I don't want to downplay that. But
no,
like, you
but
know what I'm saying?
That's actually, that could be a whole episode honestly.
It can be. But so Katie suffered a severe traumatic brain injury and it left her, what is the right way? Mentally disabled? Is that?
She is permanently disabled and Yeah, I guess that's what she's permanently disabled and like where she needs 24-hour supervision.
Yeah,
and,
windshield. Like she got banged up bad.
Yeah,
right?
They almost pronounced her dead actually at the hospital, and her pupils did something the way they dilated something. So by law, they had to bring her back. I mean, thank God because she made it and everything. And I think she has a better outcome than even what they anticipated she would have. But yeah,
I don't want to lose what I was doing because I will.
Okay.
But my point to all that was, when people come over, I've failed my dog, excuse me, by not training him about people coming in, right? And it's something I got to live with. But when Katie comes over, and this has been the way since she moved to Missouri. And he did it today. Katie came home with us. We went out to eat with the family, and Katie came back, and her and Alicia ran around for a little while today. But like, Echo, if it would have been anyone else in the world, it's like, hey man, what's up? Oh, happy for 2 minutes. And then he leaves and goes and fucks off. But like, he knows Katie needs him to slow down and be like gentle. And it's so beautiful to watch, man.
It is.
Because he just sits there with her and like totally protection. Like he sits right in front of her, gives her kisses. And it's the nicest thing in the world. Cause like he was looking at the door. Mom always walks in the door and goes, "Hi, baby." And when Alicia does that high pitched thing, it throws him into a spiral. And I tried to tell her to stop doing this shit, but it's over now. "Hi, baby." And so he's at a 10. He's at a 10 when he hears a garage door. He's at a 15 when he knows it's his mom's car. And then when he hears that, "Hi, baby." And then, so he's looking at the door. He'll pass me by, no big deal. Come say what's up and then walk away. But when he saw Katie, I was right behind her, helping her just get up the steps and stuff to get in. And he like doesn't even come out of first gear, man. He just walks over and is like, "What's up, babe?"
When he's excited, his little tail's going, but he doesn't, you know, jump at her or get too crazy. He just, it's really sweet. And you can tell how it's like with her, her injury, her disability, like communication, and it affects her left frontal temporal lobe. Uh-huh. So it affects her decision making and her cognitive, like processing
process,
and just a lot actually. And so like having conversations with her sometimes are a little difficult and things.
Sure.
But it's really cool to see how she reacts with Echo. Like it's very natural.
Yeah.
Like the way she talks with him.
Yeah.
It's very natural. Anyway, I just thought that's really cool.
Yeah. It's that service dog thing.
Yeah.
It's like they just know. There's nothing else to it. They just know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like I was thinking earlier, something I take for granted, something I pray about every single morning is in my prayers, I always start off with thankfulness. And I always thank God for my health and allowing me to work out every day. And I take it for granted, you know, and like just being at the mall with Katie walking, how she has to walk really slow. I mean, it's amazing she can even walk and do the things, but that she's slow. And like, I'm so used to just like, I'm like fifth gear all the time. I get to the store and I'm ready. I'm beelining to where I need to go. And it's really, I don't know. I was just thinking about that earlier. It just made me kind of take a step back. It's like, you know, cause I had her with me and you have to slow down and you've got to get, you know, she needs a break and you got to have her sit down and like,
You give a shit about her.
What do you mean?
Well, cause if it's me and your dad who doesn't walk fast either in Cleveland, Ohio, and a fucking alley
and
somewhere, you're just up the street.
I'm learning that too about my dad. Just like
slowing
down. I'm not a very patient person and I get that from my biological dad.
I'm with you.
I'm just not. I mean, my mom and my dad would like, when I was a kid, they would leave me in stores. Like I'd be left by myself and like scared because they walk really fast. So I had to learn like walk fast or you're going to be left behind and wondering where your parents are and be freak out. But, now, you know, having an older parent and stuff, it's just
well, and
really
this is coming
me.
From me cause I'm a pretty fast walker too, but you go for it.
You're a little more low key than me. Like when we get somewhere, when we get home or get to where we're going in a parking lot, like you take your time getting out of the car and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm like, I'm out the door. Like while you're still, I don't even know.
I got to get a pistol like ready. Yeah, no, I got all kinds of other shit to do than just bolt.
I just live life in a hurry. I just, that's just
brain.
How I am.
You got girl dog brain. I got boy dog.
It's like I have when I'm on a mission. When I go somewhere, it's because I need to go there and get what I need to do and yeah. be done with it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on them. Talking about Echo, if you guys want to see him more than his baby photo, if you even know, apparently none of you know that it is on YouTube. It's if you search Dominic Masters on YouTube, it is on there, but all you're going to see is a little bitty photo of him for the podcast. However, I am trying to work on, anyway, there is a little short of him when you've heard the intro before, when I whistle and say Echo come and he comes running up. That little short on there, and it got like 5,000 likes or no views or something. This is rolling. So anyway, if you want to see that and you don't know that, check that video out, and then you'll see Echo. And this is gonna roll into something else that I have been kind of like. So I've wanted to go video for a long time, and I am in the process of like really trying to figure that out. But it's been a weird thing about. Realizing that currency of people watching your video or liking your stupid Facebook comment, like I noticed that I was paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ugly and I don't like it. It feels dirty, you know, because like I am on zero social media, I guess besides YouTube, I guess that's considered.
Yeah.
Social
but media. I mean, we probably need to get at least an Instagram, and I don't know. Well, figure it out.
My
for
point
the
to all
podcast,
this,
but.
I've been listening to that Cody Alford. If you guys don't know him, check him out. I apparently am going to be interviewing him for the legacy military reunions thing that I've been shoving down your throat, and I need you to help me out with. But a lot of his stuff is about, you know, his clothing brand is called Defy the Norm, right? And it's just like, getting outside of worrying about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this stupid tattoo on my hand, that don't give a fuck thing from a long time ago. And it's like, I care about people so much. And I care about like, okay, to say that I don't care about, that I don't care what people think about me is false.
Mm-hmm.
I care what people think about me because I would rather be friends and like have a good rapport with other people. Now, if you just don't like the way that I am naturally, I can't spend too much time worrying about that. So to say that I don't care what other people think about me, I can't buy into that one for myself. I do care. But it's because I try to be a nice person these days, and like, I don't hurt people and do bad things anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, Alicia knows this. I'm kind of telling you guys, and you might not know all of it, but, I just needed to, because I talked to Cody at the reunion and he was just basically saying like, dude, you're asking me questions that you know answers to. If you want to get on YouTube and you want to do the mm-hmm. video part, get on there and do it. Stop fucking thinking so much.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his videos are talking about, you know, so what, dude? Some dude commented on that little video of Cash shooting. And it's like some guy that, who cares, but he said something about bro don't hunt or something. And I guess that's where I'm going with this, like focusing on mm-hmm. how many people were watching it. And then that one person I have no clue about, he doesn't know me, he doesn't know my son. I caught myself going, well, you motherfucker, you know? And it's just like not worrying about that. So where I'm going, I guess, is that I'm trying to just kind of develop myself in a way that is like, because when you do something like that, you are putting yourself out there for all kinds of scrutiny
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
realize it or like it or don't, it's going to happen. And so, yeah, I recorded a little video. It was like a 3-minute video. I was at work talking about why we need locks and dams on the Mississippi. And a couple of days later, we had some training to do that had to do with like security stuff. So I did take that down just because I did not get permission for it. And I was just going to ask for forgiveness.
I asked you about
I know
that.
You did. You were right. And I said, fuck that. Yeah. It would be deal.
Yeah.
Because the towboaters come through and they can record anything. And it's not a problem. It's not illegal.
Well, they're not. You're you, though.
Right.
They don't work where you work.
But the information on why we need locks and dams on the Mississippi
right.
River is public information.
But while you're at work and in your work attire, you probably shouldn't be doing
that. I know.
That.
So yeah. I took it down.
Yeah, good
but
idea.
But it did kind of like help me just get over myself a little bit. And that's another thing. I'm like trying not to take myself so seriously. Like I'm like always work. Excuse me. I'm being vulnerable here.
Mm-hmm.
So just stop looking at me like that. Like take myself so seriously, you know, because like, does any of this matter at all? What
no.
we're doing here?
No,
of course
I mean,
you have to be good to people and you have to take care of your family. You have to love your wife and you have to be a good person. But like in the big picture, when I'm gone, I mean, none of this is going to matter. So it's like, why not? You know, why not put yourself out there and be a little uncomfortable and what it is, what it is type of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Now, this is where you bounce back off of me and be my co-host.
That's really hard. Sometimes I just look at you, you make me laugh.
I don't, you know, have you have zero idea where I'm going when
no,
I start
I,
just
I,
rattling?
No, I mean, I get what you're saying because, like, this is something kind of you're passionate about. You do more for fun. This
sure.
isn't your job. Like your job is
no, yeah, yeah.
You know, so this thing should be. I mean, if it's something you want to do, why wouldn't you just do it? Because I'm kind of like envious because I gave up the things that I wanted to do, and I'm. It's nobody's fault but my own. I got myself busy doing other things, and now I just don't have time, or I guess I don't make time. And so I think it's cool that you're going for it instead of just talking about it. You're doing it.
Well, thank you. And it is, man. It is being vulnerable and like
mm-hmm.
talking about, and I haven't gotten into all kinds of stuff just because like, I think when you start something like this and I've heard it from podcasters, so this is definitely not my take on it, but it's like, you are opening yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing because like sometimes, you know, it's just like therapy when you, all you're doing is going in and talking to a complete stranger.
Mm-hmm.
This is just talking to complete strangers, except
mm-hmm.
I don't have to publish it.
Mm-hmm.
I could record this and then never just delete it.
Yeah.
But it's like putting yourself out there and letting yourself be vulnerable. And I think there's something therapeutic to that.
I think, yes. And then, you know, your thing is you always say you want to help people. And I think that it is helping people. Like whether you're talking about something you've been through or someone that you have on the show that talks about what they've been through, I think it does help because I mean, so many, I have friends in all different realms of just life on what they do and where they work and just all kinds of things. And I've had like people from every single realm and age group that have told me, like, have all said something positive about one or more of the podcasts, like that they,
awesome.
Something they got out of it.
Yeah.
So I think if that's, you know, if it's going to help somebody or.
Right. Well,
why not?
So. I guess it goes into that same line of like, if you're an expert at something, the worst thing you can do, and I'm by far saying I'm an expert at anything, but I'm just saying like in general, the worst thing you can do is hold on to that information for yourself
mm-hmm.
and not share it.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it be me talking about my personal stuff or like, yeah, I'm agreeing with you trying to help people. But I think there's like this part of me that feels like I'm a fraud, you know, like there's so many people out here talking about, and I'm YouTube. I'm just saying, let's just say YouTube.
Yeah.
There's so many podcasts about self-help and addiction and working out and food and all these other things.
Yeah.
But my point is I watch a lot of workout videos to try to get ideas on how to be a better lifter and,
mm-hmm.
and maximize my time in the gym. If I'm doing it wrong and I see like, Mike Van Wyck is a big one, Ryan Humiston. But my point where I'm going is that you can find 5 million videos on
sure.
how to do bicep curls.
Yeah.
But for some reason, and this is why I think I'm going to be able to reach some people is because for some reason I gravitate to these people more than these people. And it doesn't take away from that other person.
Exactly.
It's just their lingo. Pastor Jeff, your pastor, you just like the cut of his jib, they say, you know, and it's just, there's something personal to it. So
correct.
While you can find out how to get off of drugs and what tons of people have done in their journey to get clean, maybe you had a single mom like I did. Maybe your mom gave you the bedroom and slept on it. So we can just relate. So I think like if I am, not far from an expert, but if I am good at something, it's like maybe not quitting drugs, you know? So it's like, if I can help anybody in that area, dude.
Well, you help, I mean, not necessarily you. Well, I mean, you ultimately, but like Gomez, when you had him on the other day, when I listened to that, that helped me with my life in this house with you. And so that's just an example. It does, you know, it is. And
why did that help you? Like, explain that.
So it's kind of funny. And here's, this is like a whole nother thing because, you know, you have mentioned and other people have mentioned, Alicia, you know, you used to do voiceover work and you did some broadcasting. Why don't you have a podcast, you know? And I think it's fun and it's great and all. I just don't have the time right now to like have my own podcast. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
that's a weak excuse.
That's something to revisit later, but maybe that's just not my passion at the moment. I just have a lot going on. But
timing.
I thought, like, you know, maybe it would be cool to do, like, you know, an episode where, you know, maybe me and some wives take over, or like you have us as guests and we kind of like talk to help some of the women, because I wasn't together with you when you were in the military, you know, and I came after you'd been home for, I mean, we met a few years later, I guess.
Yeah.
We were friends and the military life was just not a part of my life at all. I mean, I've known people. My dad was in the military. He served during Vietnam.
Right.
He wasn't in combat, you know, so I don't really have that experience. And so fast forward, I'm with you and there's a lot of problems and trauma and stuff that you had to deal with. So I still never really understood it, but I, you know, tried as much as I could. And it's kind of like we go on with life and I do my life the way I've always done it, forgetting all the things that you've been through, because, you know, it's 20 years ago. Like, why am I?
Leave it alone.
I mean, sometimes. And I don't mean it to be rude, it's just kind of how it is, I guess. And then sometimes I have to be reminded by either listening to some of the guys or the wives or something, that things that go on and what they go through. Then it's like, oh, wait, like, this is part of our life and it will be our entire marriage, that this is part of it. And so sometimes I feel bad because, like, I might get frustrated with you or certain things, or maybe not understand your behaviors or just different things, that it's really hard for me to. So, like, for instance, when you went to the reunion and you got home and, you know, you were really happy that you went, you got a lot out of it. We talked about it on here and it was a very positive thing, but I'd say, like, for the first couple weeks after, like, your behavior changed, and some of it reminded me a little bit of when you were using drugs, because it was like kind of up and down behavior.
I have a confession to make. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I know.
I mean, and it's it like, my bad. You know, and it was like, well, you know, so it's like very confusing sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've talked about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when Gomez was on here, and I think it was during that time you were kind of, you were recognizing like your moods, maybe you weren't
coming back.
You weren't admitting them to me. Cause I mean, I try to kind of just give you your space, or like, oh, whatever, it's fine, you know. But then finally I'm like, what the heck, you know, and then I get frustrated and I don't know how to talk to you about it, right? So anyway, so when Gomez and you were kind of talking about things, it was like you didn't even really have to explain it. He just knew. It was like, oh, because of the high from being at the reunion and all of the heavy stuff and this and that. And then you go home and you're frustrated because, you know, so-and-so's like late or weren't, you know, something's not going
little
away,
shit,
little stuff. And, you know, you were letting a lot get to you and stuff. And so he helped me like understand that. Cause I even thought like, does this have something to do with that? And it did. And for Gomez, like in the first like 10 minutes, just to kind of, oh, well, you got this and that. It was like, he recognized it because he lives this life too. He had the same issues.
And much worse.
But he's had a lot of the same issues at home.
Yeah.
And so his wife, Samantha, who is amazing, they live in California, so it's not like I, like, see or talk to them a lot, but I feel like even though, like, he was your brother from 20 years ago to now, like, just meeting him and his family, I feel like I've known them my whole life, too. Like, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Like, the connection. And she was married to him, you know, when he was, you know, she was there the entire time and had a baby and all of that stuff. So she's been there from the beginning. And so to, like, I don't know, I kind of just reached out to her and we were talking about the podcast and, like, to hear her, like, she's been through a lot of the same struggles and obviously had a lot worse because it's, you know, just, she's been there from day one. So anyway, it just really helps to hear the guys that, you know, you served with that I really, really respect is, you know, people. I mean, and I don't know them the way you know them from being in combat with them or, being a Marine. I know them as a as a friend, as a dad, as a, you know, yeah. as what a husband, you know. And I don't see the ugly side of them, just like no one else sees the ugly side of what goes on in our house right. necessarily. And so it was just really helpful to know, like, you know, she was sharing things and, you know, telling me she's always here if I need someone to talk to and, you know, and vice versa, even though I don't really understand everything, you know, I want to be there for her too. And so I just thought, you know, maybe it would be good for, you know, spouses who've been there from the beginning and ones like me who have not to like talk and just, you know, because it helps us know, like, if you guys are going through something, it has nothing, it usually has nothing to do with us or what's going on in our house, but it's hard to understand if that's not a part of your past. Like, you don't,
of course,
you know. And so
I've been spitting this wife thing for a long time. I think it's a fucking
I think it's too,
a hit,
because like all the guys that you know, and had I done what most women would do, like when in our bad situation, like most guys aren't able to keep relationships and marriages.
No, it's tough.
You know I mean, you've told me so many people who've gotten divorced, or I mean, between abuse and then drugs and like it just, I mean, and you can't like, you can't blame a even a male, you
Hell
know,
no.
it goes the other way too. But like if somebody who's not exposed to that, I mean, you're like, you're being with an abusive person or a person with addiction, or like, why the hell would you stay? I mean, I had friends that were like, what are you doing? You need to leave. And like, had it not been you and it was a guy who hadn't been in the war and stuff, yeah, absolutely, I would have left.
Of
like,
course.
There's no way. But I don't know. There was just, you know, it takes people who can try to learn and understand and communicate with other spouses and things, because like, it's not right that, you know, so many people are alone because they couldn't make the relationships work because they weren't healthy, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so you like need an advocate or need a partner who's going to not just let you get away with stuff. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
You know, because, you know, whatever. But like,
that's the opposite of what you should.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be able to call somebody out when they're not being whatever. But there's a way to go about it. And especially somebody who's been through trauma and some of those things.
Yeah.
It's not going to just be cut and dry all the time. And like husband and wife who have not been through those things, you know, things are a little different.
Yeah. Well, and we have our own behaviors that we know are wrong, too. It's just that they're acceptable in some scenarios, and then,
correct.
And then we can abuse that privilege per se sometimes because we're being pouty little bitches and stuff like that. So like, but obviously it's you know, it's on us control and all that stuff. But then there's that understanding from the spouses, and so I just like.
But for like spouses to have each other, like, you know, because there's times where, and this was what was happening, like, it was almost like sometimes not just you, but like you'll kind of detach.
Yeah.
To where it's definitely. Like, what's going on? And then you, and like as a female, or like, you're like, is he cheating on me? Is he like, doesn't like
right.
me anymore? Like you kind of start to feel that. But then when you go talk to other women, oh yeah, this is how he acted when he got back from the reunion. He was kind of like this too. This is kind of normal. Like when they go through this, or, you know, like having somebody who understands, who's
for sure.
been there for many years, it's really helpful. And so I just think that if like the women even, you know, I wish we were, like we lived by each other,
right.
you know, to where me and Sam could go hang out, or if I, you know, I don't really know any other military wives. I mean, Tara, I don't really know her super well.
Right.
But like, you know,
it's surprising how much all you guys, much like us, are kind of alike, right? Like if you know one of them, you kind of, like you're talking about the guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you know Gomez and you know Terry.
Yeah.
You haven't met Elrod, but you know Elrod.
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know
I know
mean?
All the names, but like once
no,
I
saying,
see him, oh, once I meet him,
yeah.
I mean, like
you
Terry, it was so weird. It was like Terry, the first time I met him, I'm like, I just felt like he was family. Like, I would never felt weird or uncomfortable, because the first time I met him, you weren't even home for an hour or two. And him and I are just sitting there. It was like, I have known him my whole life,
yeah,
too. It was so weird.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's kind of crazy.
So So it helps me understand, just knowing the guys too, helping me understand why you love them so much and why you can't let 20 years, because some people would be like, that was the past, get over it, move on. This is what you got going on. And like, you, as a military spouse, you have to accept those people as your family as well. But know that you love them, they'll love you, and they'll do, any one of those guys, if I called them right now, like I have a problem, like they would come here
faster than they would get here for me,
and that's pretty like,
and I would do the same.
Yes.
And that's the whole deal, man.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
And I've talked about it a million times. I could seriously make phone calls and people be in the truck, and it's weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's something
and that's how my friends are here. Like I have friends like that for sure. But I, what you guys went through obviously was literally life and death.
Yeah. So. Well, trip to me is like when you'll hear so-and-so and my dad, whoever's talking about it. My dad never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So-and-so, my uncle never said a word. My grandpa was in World War II never said a word. And it's I think if I held all that in, it's not for me, just Dominic Masters. Some dudes are good at it. Terry doesn't. He's got his brothers and but whatever. But like, for me, I'm just like a pressure cooker. And once that pressure gets too high, but, going back to the detachment thing, I have to say that, and I know we've had this conversation, remember it or not, I know, or maybe we haven't, and I thought it up, but I think, and I have heard about this from some of the guys, that it has to do with, and this sounds weird, but it has to do more with protecting you guys from us than it does getting us out of blah, 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 right? Because if I just detach and am quiet, then that way I can't be mean to Alicia. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything rude or snap off or do any of that weird shit. I the kids just figure I'm quiet. But you guys don't see that. It doesn't come off that way.
Say that, but it's like, no. Because, you or anyone, like if someone's feeling a certain way, you're giving off a vibe. Like Absolutely. It's very strong.
Yeah.
Like I know when you want to be like, get the F away from me. You don't say it because you're very respectful and you're able to hold stuff in, but that's how you feel. And it's hard not to take it personal.
Absolutely.
Because children, all they want is their parents' love and affection. You know that a lot.
Yeah.
With your, and so
that's why I feel like such an asshole.
Or your wife or what, and that's just kind of part of it. Like, it's not that you don't ever give us those things, because you do, but sometimes you force yourself.
Right, right.
And
you can feel that too.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so that's kind of, he'd rather be on his phone talking or watching or whatever. And then it's like, so it's hard not to sometimes feel insecure or get defensive or, and it could lead to resentments and problems that,
well, too fucking bad. Just deal with it. I am with you. Right. I'm with you 100% of the time. You just said something that it was kind of in the back of my head anyway. I was talking to somebody the other day and, they were listing, I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but let's just see. They were listing out like all these medications that they're on. And I mentioned something to the effect of, like, have you tried, exercise and diet?
Oh, okay.
Because around here, and I think it was Ryan Humiston. I just like the dude. I don't know. He's a Phoenix guy, but I just like the way he talks. But he was saying that, like, it's not that I like working out so much. And this used to be a pro bodybuilder guy. But it's not that I like working out so much. It's just that I don't like who I am if I don't.
Oh, good.
Right.
Analogy.
Yeah. So it's but that thing when I was talking to this person about all these medications and it reminded me of shit I used to do. Mm-hmm. There was an excuse for everything. Right. Like, well,
you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, right? You don't know how good you can feel though.
Oh, right. Right.
You just don't.
But it was that, and this is me 7+ years out. And like, so I can not being judgmental, but it's like, I'd heard this story before come out of my own stupid mouth, well, I need the Adderall to wake up and then I need the Xanax to stay calm because I have this issue. Mm-hmm. And then I need the Seroquel to go to sleep. And then I need the, this to the, And I'm just, I'm thinking about all these medications and like when you told me a long time ago, like, dude, all these things are kind of counteracting each other and like none of this even makes sense in it. But
well, but you don't know if you're not in the medical field and then you go to your doctor who's telling you this is what you should have and they're prescribing it. Why would you think
it's
bad? I mean, they're exactly.
But and then it's like, who am I to tell anybody how to live their life? But it's because and that person even said something to the effect of you seem like different and healthy and all these things. And I just like sometimes I want to just shake people.
You just want to be like, if I have it, I want you to have it too. You can have it too. And you're not trying to be judgy because that can really come off to people, you know, judgy.
I remember,
you know, but you just want people to like, hey, I don't want you to die from these medicines or this lifestyle. Like, I want you to know what, you know, what you can feel, how you can feel and what you can have. And, you know, so well, it.
Well, and on top of that, there was like alcohol involved, which no medication says that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And then there's like a pack of smokes and a vape pen.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I just, because I, and we all went through it. This is what you need. So I would just take it. And you just can't like, there's no, somebody sent me a photo the other day and half of it, it looked like Dorian Yates, who's this old school monster bodybuilder. Half of it looked like him. And the other half of it was a morbidly obese guy with like tits. Well, like a tit because it was half of him, but like a big tit. And it said on the one half of the dude in shape, suffer. And then on the other half of the dude with tits, or suffer. And I thought that made so much sense. Like, and and around here, the word suffer when it comes to the gym, I don't think you or I subscribe to that because while it is hard, and of course it's hard work, like we always say, when we walk up those steps at the end of that 45 hour, whatever it is, we're always, so it's like, I don't, I'm not going to use the word suffer in my half and half photo.
No, it's definitely, it's not suffering, right? You know? For me either. No,
but, it, but the,
it can be,
of course,
in a good way,
of course.
Right. Yeah.
But it's you, that's so, it's so true. And there's very little gray area there. You're either going to suffer, meaning put in hard work and feel a lot better about things. All right. Maybe your back's a little sore. Maybe your legs are a little sore. It's tough getting off the shitter or something, but, or you're going to suffer like so many people with medications and disease and all this other stuff. And look, dude, we try to be healthy people, but there's something coming for all of us.
No, I feel like a big cow right now.
You just had a little bit of a week.
Yeah.
What'd you have done to yourself? Well, was I done with my diatribe? Is that the right word, diatribe? Was I done talking?
I don't know.
Well, let's just keep going then.
I don't know.
You're doing your job as a co-host. So what'd you just go through?
Well, I'm trying to think. No, what was your whole point? We were just talking about,
just a good idea to suffer.
Yeah, because you know, exercise is a big thing for us. And you know, what you put in your body. Food, drink. Yeah, we're not the best at diets. We like to eat. I mean, eating has always been something my family always likes. You know, somebody's birthday, it's a holiday. I mean, most people. But like, you know, that was something my family, like, we were afforded to go out to dinner. We would go out, you know, and this seemed weird to me as I got older because I didn't, like, boyfriends or whatever, like, that I didn't grow up with. Their families never went out to eat. I mean, it was a treat to get McDonald's. And I didn't, and I don't think I was conceited. I was, like, more middle class, not, like, even upper middle class. Like, you know, I don't know, for
that's
back
what
then.
All upper class but, people like, say.
I wasn't rich by any means, but it was like we would go to dinner on weeknights and go here and go like nice places. And this, I don't know, like
it was normal.
It was normal to me. And it's not like we lived in a mansion and we were doing fancy things, but to me, those were normal. And so, you know, I think we try to do that to our kids and stuff. But like I didn't real anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that.
Just about food and
food.
How we
okay, so food. So yeah, food's always been important, you know, and so like I like to eat and I'm kinda like if I'm gonna like cause I always tell you, like I could have a six pack. I just obviously don't want one.
Well, sure.
Because I don't think I would be happy just not eating good food. Like, I know I'm not. Like, I look forward to, like, I can eat healthy, but like, I still have to have stuff taste good because it's something I enjoy. Some people just eat. Sometimes you can do it where you just know you need the calories or the protein and you're not really caring what you eat. And I have to enjoy what I eat. Yeah. I don't know. It's just part of who I am, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and it's all what you're looking for.
I mean, you just have to cut it out. Like, it's Mexican's my favorite. I just now, we try to eat it like maybe even once a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, I mean, I guess I shouldn't eat it at all, but I love it.
Yeah.
So, well, last week I had it two nights in a row. Yeah, I did have a week. So that.
You had a little surgery.
Well, I had a minor. It was a very minor surgery.
What's wrong with your face?
You know, so I am 45 going on 46 and
going on 50.
I don't, stop it. I don't feel old. Like, for instance, tonight or today I was shopping. Dom and I are going to, okay, do you call it a gala or a gala? Because I've heard both.
White trash gala.
Gala?
Yeah, gala I think is for rich people who have vases.
Okay. You know what I mean? Well, we're going to.
We have vases and we go to gala.
We're going to a gala with Tim and Tara.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you got to dress nice. And so.
Black tie.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not ready to shop in the ladies section. Like, okay, just say you go to Macy's. The ladies, I mean, it's old lady. I'm old, but I'm not an old lady. Like, I still shop in the juniors, but no, I'm not a junior. Like, I don't have a skinny little body. And,
bro,
listen, but I'm like, I can't wear the short little stuff. You know, I got cellulite and crap. Like, I'm getting older, but like, I'm so trying to find that happy median, which I have been able
median.
To. I said median again. I like that word.
Stick with it, man.
But anyway, I found a dress and it's cool. It's like in the middle, you know, whatever.
That's great.
But like getting, so where I'm going with that with my surgery. So my, I don't know. I feel like almost everybody has one eye that's slightly smaller than the other. Like, you know, when you get your picture taken and like girls have the one side of their face,
yeah.
Their good side and the, like whatever, because I don't know. Mine always, that's just how it's always been.
Yeah.
But I noticed like a couple years ago, my right eye was kind of like drooping. And it was funny because I started getting headaches around that time. So I thought, and I never really got headaches or migraines. It turns out it's because of my hormones is getting older around periods and things like that. I start getting headaches. But anyway, I was like, man, what if I have a brain tumor? You know, you just think of all these things. I never was like ever. I mean, working in the medical field, and knowing people, I've seen pretty much every horrible illness, disease, things, but I've just always been very healthy and try to take good care of myself. But, you know, since having those kids and being a step parent, I feel like it is my duty as a parent to make sure I take care of everything and just rule everything out because, like, there's people who depend on me.
Yeah.
So, like, I had a breast thing and I had to go through the biopsy and all that. And it was scary, but I did everything I was supposed to do. And now I do all my follow-ups because, like, If there's something that you can get that can be prevented, like, or get fixed if you find it early, like, fine. So anyway, so that's why I got the MRI of the brain. That was fine. And then a couple years went on. And then I just noticed, like, I went to the eye doctor last year for my eye exam. And she's like, hey, you're right. Eye is drooping. And I'm like, okay. You know, she, like, noticed it. And then it just, like, started progressively getting worse. And so when I went this year to my eye exam, you know, it was to the point, like, my eyelid was, like, covering the top of my pupil. So it was affecting my vision and I was getting more headaches. I work on the computer and it looked like I was starting to, like, it didn't look good. Like, I could notice
it.
You
had stroke face.
People, a little bit, people could notice it. So I went to an ophthalmic plastic surgeon and, you know, he told me about a very minor surgery he could do. First, he wanted to make sure I didn't have a neurological condition because at my age, even though I'm older, I'm not usually the age that happens where you have, it's called ptosis, where you have, the muscle in your eyelid muscle basically weakens because of the excess skin wrinkles and it drops. Mine necessarily wasn't from the that yet. It was just my muscle got weak and it dropped. And so he said it because of my age and stuff, it was kind of odd. So he made me do a test to check for a neurological condition. Thank God I didn't have that. And so it was a very minor procedure and they basically lift up your eyelid, put a clamp on, or like they go underneath your, like they turn your eyelid inside out and they put a clamp and pull it up and put a stitch in there, and they run it through the front of your eyelid. And so, you know, it's a little swollen and uncomfortable for a few days. And but I wasn't allowed to work out or work my job. And that was really, really tough because I'm like, here I have to have this old lady surgery. Like, I was just like embarrassed, I guess. But like, it wasn't anything I could do or control. But it still like sucked, you know. And then I can't work out. And, and I'm thinking, this is minor. I have a friend battling brain cancer. And I have friends and in family that are dealing with like so much. Like, this is nothing. Like, it was a 10, 15 minute procedure. It was easy. I have some bruising. My eye, like, it was fine. I didn't need pain medicine, nothing like that. But I couldn't do my normal routine. Yeah. And that, like, because I'm very structured. And, you know, I like to do my grocery shopping on this day. And I like to have, so it was like, oh my God, I can't work. Like, and then taking off of work, like.
But you killed it, though. Like, you did what you're, and the doctor, okay, so you're right. Your friend with her brain, I get it, man. But, you know, this is your thing. And so, so it's not like, obviously you're not comparing or anything, but like, you know, your doctor told it. So it's not about you being weak and lazy, because if had you strained that muscle, you could have messed yourself up.
I mean, he said, I mean, they were very adamant. I'm like, oh, but and I can work. And he was like, yeah, but you're going to need to take breaks. And like, I just am so used to.
You guys, I had to force her to sit down and shut up. Like the first day it was fine, but this was my, that was my first experience around an opiate. In whatever, almost going on 8 years this year.
Was it an opiate?
Yeah,
it was Vicodin. Is Vicodin an opiate?
It's a painkiller.
I thought hydrocodone. But
it was
still
my first time around a painkiller. So yeah. We dropped it. I had to stay.
I said I didn't want to fill it, but then you helped, not because you wanted some. You were just like, you might
just
need it. And I was like, you know what? I don't know. If he prescribed them, he thinks I might need them.
Right.
So I filled it.
I took Alicia home, and on the way home, stopped by and dropped off her prescription. And then brought her to the house, wait an hour later, Walgreens calls, whatever, whatever. So I go up there, and like, somebody just hands me this stuff that I let. It's my responsibility. It's my, it was my doing. I let almost completely ruin my life, maybe kill me, put me in prison. Yeah. Who knows? I all of a sudden have custody of this stuff. Now, I know I need to bring it home to you. And I know what happens if I even open that bag. And I know there's a count on there that you're going to know there's five and there, whatever, whatever. But it was this weird thing. And I'm so proud of like the growth, my mindset, whatever it's called, but at 0 point in time. And I can say this honestly, and I'm so happy to be able to. At 0 point in time did I think to myself, well, first of all, they were 5 325s.
Yeah.
If you guys listening don't know.
Is that Norco?
It was a hydrocodone. Yeah. It's nothing. Yeah. But 5 325 means you have 5 milligrams of the bad stuff, and then 325 milligrams of
Tylenol.
Yeah. Right. So the place I was in, that was an appetizer for breakfast. That like that wouldn't even get me to feel well again. Like that wouldn't even get me over withdrawal.
Yeah.
And so there's a bunch of things, but I was telling the guys at work, like, I'll be honest, you could have gotten a script for 180 milligram oxys that were my,
that's good.
That was my illegitimate girlfriend. And it was just zero thought, zero temptation, zero anything, man. And it felt so good.
That's
because,
awesome.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, we're not around.
Yeah.
We go to houses that I'm sure in their medicine cabinet somewhere there is something.
Sure.
Right? But, like, zero of people that we associate with are like, hey, man, want a Xanax? You know, like, it's just, we're not around that anymore. So, like, in all those years, this was the first time that I'd ever been around any of that. And it was so awesome to just be free of fucking even internal thoughts. Like,
that's good.
Dude, crack one of these things over and sort the fuck out of it.
Well, like, I felt comfortable. Like
I was wondering.
It didn't even really, like, to me, it's, you know, when somebody's an addict, I think that it is, and you're their loved one, I think it is your responsibility, because I learned from experience, that you should be vigilant. You should be like, I shouldn't just be like, oh, he's never going to do drugs again. And I don't have to ever worry about it. Cause I think that if you were, heaven forbid, to have a slip up and I ignored it again, like I did for a while, yeah. like before, that's not love. And that's not, so that's not okay. But I didn't have, like, you know, you said you're going to go get it. I trust you now about that. Now, for you to sit here and say, because I couldn't blame you if you said, like, of course I thought about what it would be like. I wouldn't do it. But, like, for you to say, like, that didn't even cross my mind because I feel that vibe from you.
Yeah.
But to have that reassurance, that's pretty cool.
It was so, and I was wondering that, too. Even though you were just got out of a surgery, I was still curious as to, hold on 1 second. All right, I'm back. Sorry, we had to pause. Our friends from next door came over, the Dershes. You know Pat. He was on the Would You Be My Neighbor episode, and then his wife Corey or Courtney is here with us too, so we're gonna maybe do some freestyling. But I wanted to finish a point. We were telling everybody I had to go get pain medication for Alicia the other day, and that was the first time I've been around pills in almost 8 years. But my point to that was A, that I appreciated that you trusted me, but B, I know, and I've said it before, and I believe it, and it's not something cool to say for effect, but, like, if that happens to me again, if I ever go down that road, I don't think I'm going to come back from it. So there is that in the back of my head, too, that's, like, it's no longer just a game and getting fucked up, you know? And so, like, I take that very seriously because I just don't – I know I have that kind of fight left in me. Like, I know I could do it again if I had to, but, like, why would I go through that again? I mean, the fucking – the depths that shit takes you is so gnarly to feel.
It's so awesome that you can recognize
it. Yeah. Stuff. Well, and she was saying that she didn't worry about it. She didn't worry about me going up to get her script. And it's kind of weird because everything she went through, she might, you know?
So anybody would worry about that right off the bat.
Right.
Right. And but yeah, it's cool that she doesn't. I mean, that's trust.
This is hard to do.
And then he gets home and he's like, babe, you can count them. There's still five in there. And I'm like sitting here just out of surgery. Like, I think you're going to, like, that's not where we are right in our relationship anymore. Yeah, it didn't cross my mind. But, you know, it's funny because I thought, one, I know it's not good for you. And I'm like, I don't think I need it. I'm like, I can use THC oil and Aleve. Like, I think I'll be fine. But I filled it just in case because I didn't know what to expect. And anyway, I was like, one, I don't want to put this in my body and because like it upsets your stomach and everything. And I couldn't work out. I'm like, it's not worth it. And then I'm like, to even have that temptation around him, like, I just don't think that's even cool unless it's an absolute emergency. And I was like, I'll keep it for the first night and in the morning. And he was on night shift. So I'm like, I'd like to have it gone by the time he got home. Then he just doesn't even have to see it. And I went, I flushed them all in the toilet. And my friends even like, Leisha, I don't really want you to take it because, you know, like, just because of how addictive they can be. But I'm like, I've never been addicted to like medication. And I took that after my wrist surgery and I only took it when I had to, and I didn't like it. And it didn't even really do anything for me. And so anyway, I didn't feel like that, but I was like, we don't need that. I have like freaking THC oil. I do not need this crap. So I just threw it in the toilet and it was gone. And
which is just a mortal sin.
Ugh. Yeah,
no, but when she told me she did that, I was just like, wow, you know, like that, I don't know that, but yeah, I'm just, it was a very good, like, reassurance, you know? And so like, I am a believer that you don't have addiction beat ever. Like when they told us in rehab that it's just outside doing pushups, getting stronger, I believe that. I think that's real. I think if something really bad happened in my life, I know how easy that would be. But so me saying that means like I obviously haven't conquered anything. But to be able to just not even have that, it was nice. It felt really good. Really good. Anyway, getting off of drug stuff, let's move on. Proud moment, all good. The other thing we had go on, and also on the YouTube channel with Echo's little video, is a video of my precious Tacoma getting just beat down by golf ball to baseball size hail damage. not happy.
I heard we might get more on Tuesday.
I know. That's what Corey said. What'd they say, Corey? How much? Put the mic to her.
I don't
know
how much.
Not that close, Jesus.
I don't know how much. I thought it was Sunday to Monday morning-ish. Oh,
yeah, but why? Because a new stupid storm's coming in?
Storm's coming through.
Another. Talk on the mic, Pat. You know what to do.
Some areas are going to get like golf ball size, and then some areas are going to get bigger like we did last time.
Who knows? It was also supposed to storm pretty hard the other night, and it just kind of blew right through with 30-mile-an-hour winds.
So do you wait to get your vehicle fixed because it's going to come through? Because, what?
To be honest, I don't think anybody has a choice because they're so backed up and whatnot from the last storm that came through. We have a friend of a friend that has a shop, body shop, and he got, I don't know, maybe 50 calls in about 4 hours after that first storm, that storm came through a couple weeks ago.
So it is going to take a while just to even
just get your car in and get it fixed.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, then maybe I'll wait because what's the point? But I am bummed.
I'm not getting mine fixed. There's like four dents on it.
Well, like I was telling Pat, the white trash hood rat that is used to be me, I would have taken that check and done something cool. And then, but Alicia was like, your shit isn't even paid off yet. I got 69,000 miles, 70,000, whatever it is on it now. So I'm going to get it fixed. And then also our neighborhood got beat down. Our houses in the same hail damage. We've got the north side of our house. I think like almost every piece of siding, like it's, I know it's not every piece, but it's
like at least every other,
almost.
If not.
Yeah. Almost every other piece of siding got cracked.
Mm-hmm.
Our vinyl fence outside, like all a bunch of those caps were either cracked or blown out. Mm-hmm. Roof,
yeah,
is trashed. So not only do we have construction going on here in the basement, or the studio, as I call it, it's going to be going on pretty
rough. Well, yeah. So we put in our claim. The adjuster came for the insurance, and then we called the contractor to come out. And their inspector found more damage than what the insurance, and, you know, so now they're going to go fight because obviously they want to make money to give you a new roof, but it sounds like we may need it. So they're going to bat for us.
Dude said six shingles were messed up.
Yeah. And
way more than that.
Yeah. And more. And then like actual hail damage, not because they were saying we just had wind damage on our roof, no hail damage. And they found spots and have pictures. So I'm not that worried about it. So we'll see what happens, and then obviously the siding. But we had the samples sent off to Intel or whatever to see if they still make it, because it would be cool if they don't make it and they can't match it, that we'd get to pick out new stuff, right? You know, but whatever. I'm fine if we don't.
Worried about that with our siding, too. Even though the houses are only 8 years old, they do fade a little bit, especially on the back side of the house. I don't know if they'll
fade
match
a lot.
It.
The line of sight, right? I'm learning this lingo because I've never owned a home, but the line of sight and the. Yeah. But if you get a good contractor, they'll argue it for you. Like ours is going to be dealing with the insurance agent. We don't have to do anything.
Yeah, we only found we haven't had anybody come out yet, but we only found like four small pieces where there's like a hunk of siding missing. But it is on the back of the house, or if you're in the backyard, it's easily seen and whatever. And yeah, over time, yeah, you'll get some water damage probably in there. But trying to match those, even after only 8 years, trying to match that color for the brand new piece with the existing pieces, it could stick out like a sore thumb, and then that doesn't look good for anything.
Yeah, that's what we were learning too. Is yeah, like, it's like curb appeal.
Right, so and so insurance tries to cheap you and be like, oh, well, you only have three damage, you know.
Right.
So, like, we're just going to do three. Well, then it doesn't match and whatever. So then they just hope that you're like, oh, I'll pocket the money and replace it. Because, like, we have a couple extra, it really. But it's like, I mean, if they're saying if they know how to play the game and get the full money, I'm not trying to pocket money. I want my house to look nice because I want to sell it one day. And, like, you know, this is my home. Like, this, I'm going to fix my home. And so go for it if you can fight for us and you make some money and my house looks better. And, cool.
I'm wondering if anybody cares. Maybe we should sign off.
All right. No one cares.
Well, but the rest of it was really good.
Hey, but we made money off the fence.
Easy, man. This is insurance fraud.
No, it's not.
how do we make money off the fence?
We didn't make money off the fence. The insurance gave us more than what it takes to fix it.
Insurance is always up. We ain't making money off of nobody.
Yeah, I mean, so the house, they didn't give us anything. And then the fence, like, okay, cool.
I haven't even seen it. I haven't even gone to the
bottom of our fence. There's holes
in the rails.
Yeah, like going around the whole fence.
It was a gnarly storm. Mm-hmm. It was wild. And I'm standing there video recording this thing off from a safe distance on our front porch, and they're just exploding on the hood of my truck. I'm like, and it's a 2019 Tacoma. It's not that big of a deal, but it's mine. It's my sweet ass Tacoma, and I don't want hail. And of course, Leisha's car's fine.
I was driving in it. It was like a war zone. I'm not kidding. I mean, I was driving and I had my, you know, the shade part of my sunroof open.
Yeah.
And I closed it because I thought it was going to shatter my sunroof.
Sure.
So like every time it hit, I would duck like this because like I was scared. Like, windows were going to start shattering. It's real. It was loud.
But you know what? I've heard a bunch of people saying so-and-so was driving home in a Camry. Four of the windows all blew out. The sunroof is fine.
Yeah.
So it's like the sunroof's made of something.
His sunroof is fine, but his windshield's cracked.
The sunroof, they must have thought about this. There's somebody out there going, yeah, you fucking idiot. The sunroof's made of blah, blah.
I'm sure it is. I'm
sorry, we don't know that here at PJ's Sun. But it's a good thing because like this one gal, she pulled over, there's a guy at work, knew this lady, pulled over on the side of the highway, and windows are just coming in on her. You know how it is when you're inside of a vehicle and the window gets blown open. It's like, boo, it hits you.
Yeah.
And she's looking up at the sunroof like, if this thing blows, I'm going to get beaten down, you know? Because, like, it was huge. It'll jack you up. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to let you guys go. I'm going to be starting the interviews for, what is it, Legacy Military Reunion soon. So we're going to be kind of switching things up, and I've got other things going on, and I don't know why I always do that. I always like tell people what I have coming in the future, but maybe it's just to kind of keep you hanging on. It's called a cliffhanger. Or was that just a movie with Sylvester Stallone? Right. Whatever. It's good. Good movie. Thank you guys. Oh, we are at, 900 and some change downloads. And the amount of weird countries that you would, who even knows where any of this is coming from? And I think I over talk about this too, but as always, man, this whole thing started with a dream of mine to help one person and then figure it wouldn't really go anywhere. I know I said I wasn't going to quit until 100 episodes, and I'm sticking with that regardless of it's just me talking to my dog, I guess, because I told you I would. But I really just do appreciate anybody new who's listening. And anybody who has listened, I just really appreciate you guys. As always, try to take care of yourselves and do something nice for somebody else, and you will feel better about your life. Thanks for tuning in. Alicia, say goodbye to the people, man. This is called a sign-off. You need to get into the fucking business, bro. And also something you and I are going to get into, we are going to start voiceover work. That's something that I have written down here. It's something that I want to do.
Will
it's
you help
money.
Me get back into it, please?
It's money for
That's
old
what
rope,
I wanted
dude.
To do for is... so long. That was my dream.
And you did it.
You can
it.
Make so much money. I like did this. The last thing I did for fun, it's Supercross. I did this like campaign, this ad thing, and they played it. And I was like, hey, this could be cool. Like if I
Shine
could
Down
do this,
was playing in the background. Like the music came over Shine. It was fucking awesome.
I needed. I mean, it was stupid. I played
Would
like
you
an.
Just like talk about the next location. Or
no,
or
it was
like a commercial.
It was a thing they did. It was was it J Law when he was real big, and it was like this whole scene of like him being in jail, and then the hot chick, and then I'm the reporter's voice. You hear like the breaking news of what's going on, and all. Like, it was this whole thing, and I was like, this was fun, you know. Like,
I showed so many people that I'm like, this is my chick.
Dude. That's funny, but like I have friends that do it professionally, and if like I. A while back, I got a lot of advice, got a lot of information, and then I just dropped the ball. And it is easy because you can like go to websites, I think. And
they have scripts that you read. You record these scripts and edit them a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll go upstairs in our closet with this professional recording equipment that I am paying for. Have like our own little booth, maybe somebody I know sitting next to me can help me build a recording booth. And then... And then you read these scripts, you send them off to these companies, and if they like your tone, so like I can be a little country, a little West Coast, a little whatever with my stupid language skills. Yeah. And so like you can, but like if you, for some weird reason, get hooked into like some like Japanese comic, you know, like a weird
anything, right?
You just get it. It can be crazy money. Yeah. We could just do that for our yearly vacation.
Wouldn't that be sick?
You know what I'm saying? So that's something we're going to do. I know. Stand by.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, man, you guys be cool. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Bye.